I believe from China, who was feeling a little, how do these stories always start, right? People missing home, people wanting to make the world a bit of a smaller place and make it easier for them to get some of their, familiar comfort foods. And that's actually how Fan Tuan started, right here in Burnaby, with just one student kind of missing their home cooked food and trying to figure out an easier way to get it to them. It's really cool to think about.
Yeah, so a big part of what they're doing is sort of bringing us a bit of a different cultural approach to the delivery. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the way that the founder and owner described it to us is that, food delivery isn't anything new, of course. And back in the day when Skip the Dishes and DoorDash and all of these services were just kind of launching and becoming more common, they were all going after these big chain corporations. Like, how do we get McDonald's on board with our food delivery service? And how do we get Burger King on board? Fan Tuan had a different approach to it. And they went after, the family-owned restaurants, the mom-and-pop shops, just again, trying to build that cultural connection. And it did start as a very, it was mostly focused on Chinese restaurants at first, and then expanded to Pan-Asian cuisine. And now you can find lots of other cuisines on there as well. But the idea here was that a lot of these family-owned restaurants didn't really, they knew how to make good food. They didn't know how to market themselves and work with the tech side of things to make it easier for people to order. So Fan Tuan saw an opportunity here to kind of be that bridge in terms of allowing these restaurants to expand their circles a little bit.
Right, and they started here in Burnaby.
Yeah, it's always cool to think about these major corporations. Like even EA Games was headquartered out of, or is still headquartered out of Burnaby, I believe. But I think of it kind of on that level of these major players working right here out of our city.
Very interesting. A region new story, a regional bike route linking SFU to surrounding areas is getting a big upgrade. What's the plan and what changes will it bring?
Yeah, I imagine this is good news for some of your listeners. The federal government has actually invested, I believe, close to $6 million on upgrading this major bike network that connects downtown Vancouver with, Burnaby Heights area, with SFU, all the way down the mountain to Port Moody and Coquitlam. And it's part of the Trans-Canada Trail, I believe. The city of Burnaby is also contributing, I believe, just over $4 million, so about a $10 million upgrade in total. And it's just about making sure that this bike route that, does connect a lot of different communities around the Lower Mainland is safe for all ages and abilities. That's what they're calling the standards. And it's just meant to be accessible for people who are interested in cycling or want to cycle from place to place, but are, maybe like me and terrified of cycling along Lougheed Highway or, right alongside traffic, which is good news for everyone, I think.
Yeah, that's a great upgrade for everyone in Burnaby.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's really interesting. And is there a time frame for this plan?
I don't have it off the top of my head, actually. But I will double check on that and I'll let you know. This is part of kind of a wider national strategy that that Canada is working on in terms of improving active transportation across the whole country. So they launched that in 2021, and I'm sure over the next few years, we'll see these upgrades happening here and there.
Excellent. All right, well, that's what's happening in Burnaby this week. I think obviously the big story is Fraser Foreshore Park coming up at council in just a couple hours,
Yep,
and we'll
exactly.
be following that, and I'm sure talking about all that next week. Thanks for joining me today. Tell me about how people can find out more about the stories at the Burnaby Beacon.
Yeah, so if you're interested in any of the things we've just discussed, if you're looking for the up-to-date, proceedings on the Fraser Foreshore project or anything like that, just head to burnabybeacon.com. You'll find all of our stories there. And we'd also love it if you would subscribe to our newsletter. Just enter your email and you'll get the day's stories, whether it's news, events, politics, food, right in your inbox every morning.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Srishti Gangdev, reporter for the Burnaby Beacon. This has been What's Up in Burnaby, and we will be back with updates and more next week. Thank you for joining me today, Srishti.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right. Let's take a look at the weather for this week here in Vancouver. And it is going to be a typical spring week with a whole mixture of stuff coming up. Today, it's looking like showers throughout the day. Highs up to 10 with lows around 6 overnight. Tomorrow, it's going to be cloudy with 30% chance of showers early in the morning, clearing in the afternoon. A light wind from the northwest and highs up to 12. And on Wednesday, another nice day, clear throughout the day, high to 12, down to 6 overnight. And then Thursday, it looks like the weather is going to be coming back to us with some rain. And then the weekend is a mixed bag of chance of showers and a mix of sun and cloud, but decent temperatures. So that's what we're looking for from the weather this week. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Tiewald, and we're talking a whole bunch about developments with the proposed green recycling and organics facility in Fraser Foreshore Park. We're going to be talking to community organizer Josh Wong in just a minute. He's been leading the opposition to the park in the public discussion as it's happened so far. The big development this week is that there is a public hearing, a special council meeting that's being called for today, as we heard in our discussion on What's Up in Burnaby. Mayor Hurley of Burnaby called a special meeting, announced that a special meeting would be held. The announcement was made just last Thursday, and it's actually happening today at 12 noon in the Burnaby Council Chambers. It's a special meeting, so there's only a couple items on the agenda, both directly related to the proposal for organics recycling facility in Fraser Foreshore Park. The first motion is a reconsideration of the alternative approval process. That is a motion to reconsider that process immediately. The alternative approval process is really the only public input process that's been part of this proposal so far. We've talked about it several times on this program. It involves a somewhat belabored way that the public can voice their disapproval of the project. And involves not just, you know, writing to councillors or making their views known through the website, but actually printing out forms and filling out forms and either personally taking them to City Hall or mailing them to City Hall. It's quite an involved process. We talk a bit more about that in the interview with Josh Wong. The second item up for reconsideration is the entire motion that set the project formally in motion at the February 27th meeting of council, in which council directed the city to create a bylaw for removing the park dedication on the land where the organics facility would go, and then several more parts of that motion, relating to the alternative approval process. So all that's coming up at a special meeting happening today at 12 noon in just a couple hours. We'll see what's happening. We don't know quite what that... As you can hear from that, I mean, they're definitely rethinking the whole idea, but it's not exactly clear what's going to happen. Anyway, Josh Wong is a local realtor and a lifelong Burnaby resident. He decided that, going back to his childhood, Burnaby Foreshore Park has been important to him, somewhere that he's gone a lot. And when he heard about the proposal for it, he decided to step up and begin organizing opposition to the proposal. I had a chance to talk to him, and this is our interview with Josh Wong on what's happening around Burnaby Foreshore Park. All right, welcome, Josh Wong. Thank you for coming to CJSF to talk to us today about this issue. Burnaby City Council has proposed a waste treatment facility for 21 acres of Fraser Foreshore Park. And it has been, since it sort of came into the sort of public awareness several weeks ago, it has really started to become an issue in Burnaby. And you've taken on the role of leading some of that opposition. Can you tell me quickly a bit about the project and why you're opposed to it?
Absolutely. So the city of Burnaby is deciding to build a waste facility, nicknamed the GRO, and they're planning to build it on a dedicated parkland, which takes up about 10 acres of forest, 6 acres of swamp, and 4 acres of marshland. And so, you know, this is important because this park is used by many residents, many locals, and it's, you know, the decision to build over dedicated parkland is an absolute travesty. You know, we're talking about wildlife and biodiversity. We're talking about endangered animals that live on this parcel of land, ranging from endangered barn owls, red-tail hawks, eagles, to reptiles, amphibians, and even small mammals like minks, raccoons, skunks. So, again, you know, the decision that Burnaby is taking on to destroy this park is damaging to the entire ecosystem, and many residents are just opposed to this project, just as I am.
Right. So what inspired you to take such a prominent role in this issue?
Well, the reason why I took this on was because my father used to bring me and my little brother to this park when we were young. And this park held a lot of core memories for me. We would catch frogs, salamanders. We would go fishing. We would birdwatch. So a lot of core memories were actually built at this park. So that was one of the reasons why I want to protect this as well. I'm actually a new father to a 2-year-old, and I want to be able to share the same experiences with my child as I did when I was growing up. And, you know, in my opinion, I think nature is one of the best teachers there are. And to take that away from the future generation, you know, if they're not able to engage in nature, how will they be able to respect and understand nature when they grow up? So, you know, part of the reason why I'm doing this is for not only the wildlife, but also for the future generations.
Now, it's really unusual to for parkland to be taken out, you know, especially for something like this kind of facility. I mean, it's intended to be a green project in the sense of it's the project itself. Processing organic waste into other usable materials is a laudable idea, but at the same time, it's a fairly industrial operation. You know, it's not like it is going to have a light footprint on the land it uses. You know, mm-hmm. in the park.
That's right. So the project itself is going to take up about a third of the park itself. A third of the ecological reserve, but for the entire park, it takes up about 12% of the entire park. And again, this park is situated in quite an industrial area. And the reason why it's so important is because this marshland protects land from floods like we've seen in the past few years in the Fraser mm-hmm. Valley. So there's a lot of reasons why these parklands are important, not only to the wildlife, but also to us humans as well. So, you know, when you're paving over these parklands, these rare marshland, especially in the lower Fraser River, which is already quite rare as it is, it's a decision that's going to be permanent. Once bulldozed over, it's not coming back.
Right. So one thing I think it's interesting about how this has all come about is, you know, when the issue, or when the project was sort of publicly announced, it almost seemed to be a done deal at the time of arrival. Mm. Am I understanding it, although we're only perhaps 4.5 months or less from the civic elections in the fall, this park wasn't, or this proposal wasn't, an issue in that election. It wasn't really on the radar at that point.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, me and my brother, we saw this post on Reddit, and my brother asked me to create pamphlets for him to hand out at the parks because we want to spread awareness. And for us, we don't have any agenda. We're not coming from a political angle. Mm. You know, since our initiative started about a couple weeks ago, I was just absolutely blown away by the sheer number of people who reached out to us in support. Everyone who reached out to volunteer, to door knock, to canvas at SkyTrain stations, they all came from different backgrounds.
Right.
You know, my brother's a teacher. I'm a realtor. We have software engineers, photographers, graphic designers, lawyers, even musicians. And it's literally a community of people who actually stood their ground and came and reached out to us. So, you know, again, this initiative actually created a bridge between generations as well. We had a lot of seniors who reached out with a lot of compassion, wanting to physically go and door knock their neighbors to provide the ballots. As well as the younger generation, which you know, shared the flyers and pamphlets on social media. Right. So it's a beautiful thing to see a community come together to share the same initiative. And again, we all have this one common denominator, and that's to give a voice to the wildlife and biodiversity in this park.
And that seems to be one of the things that's been missing in this process, is that there hasn't been a real opportunity for Burnaby residents to speak to the issue, to speak directly to council. There has been the, I always forget what it's called, but the alternative decision-making processor, which...
the AAP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which we've talked about before in the show, and it's a pretty involved process for folks to get involved in. It's not emailing your councillor or sending a letter. You have to go to the website, download forms.
That's right.
Print them. Physically mail them. There's a whole bunch of steps in this process and at the same time, there hasn't been an opportunity for people to line up and speak to council directly at a meeting or something.
That's right.
Which is why the work you've been doing has been so important, because there hasn't been an established process for people to get their voice heard. So citizens have had to create their own.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've had, we're essentially fighting an uphill battle, and like you said, these votes, we're not able to just vote online. We have to literally physically go to either a Burnaby Public Library to pick up one of these forms to mail it in, or download it in order to mail it in. So, you know, this process itself is kind of ridiculous, because they need about 10% of Burnaby's population to vote, which is about they're requesting 16,250 votes to pass in order to consider stopping this project. So again, we're fighting quite an uphill battle here.
Right. I think one of the things that's interesting too is that the opposition to this project hasn't just been local, and by local I mean, in, you know, people who live close to the park. It's kind of a destination park, being right on the river, which is a special sort of environment, and has drawn interest in and participation or opposition from people throughout Burnaby.
Absolutely. I mean, we're not just talking about Burnaby residents. We're talking about residents from other municipalities as well. You know, this Fraser Foreshore Park is a very rare gem, because it's situated right along the lower Fraser, and it runs pretty much from Vancouver all the way almost into New West. So it's a very rare park to come across. I mean, if you look at any other parks in the surrounding area, they typically are centralized, and they're not running up against a river. So so that's what makes it very special.
Right. Mm-hmm. So have you been working with have you had support or help from any other groups or people in the community to organize your campaign?
That's right. So since we started, a lot of other groups and individuals actually reached out to us. So I know there's many different groups which are opposing this project. And the groups that have that we're working with are Save Fraser Foreshore Park.com, as well as Save the Future for Our Kids. There's many other NGOs that are, you know, backing us. But more importantly, it's the residents who are reaching out to ask for volunteering opportunities.